on the Bulldog Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. This is the Justin Hutson Coaches Show, brought to you by California Business Machines, by Madera Auto Center, Suncrest Bank, The Elbow Room, Barrier Roofing, A-plus Signs, by Mega Prints, and by Fashion Furniture across from River Park. Live from the Elbow Room, this is the Justin Hutson Coaches Show. Now, here is your host, the voice of the Bulldogs, Paul Leffler.
All right, good evening. Here we are at the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village. Wow. You know, it sounds like people enjoyed that game last night down in San Diego just a little bit. What a win for Fresno State last night, clinching the number 3 seed in next week's Mountain West tournament. The Bulldogs will open tournament play a week from tonight, 8:30, as the 3 seed. They'll play the winner of the 6-11 game from the night before, 76-74 last night in San Diego, but the score doesn't tell the story. How about a 9-0 run in about 40 seconds at the end of that game to steal it back from San Diego State and improve to 21-8 on the year, 12-5 in conference play. It's our final Coach Justin Hutson show of the season here at the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village. And if it starts raining again, nothing to worry about. Here on the patio, we are covered. We're safe. We're dry. We're warm. The fire's going in the corner. The bulldog bites are out. People are enjoying a great time. And there are just a couple seats left if you want to come join us, because the Bulldog fans are here in force. Coach Hutson's going to be along midway through the show. Until then, we get to talk to another former San Diego State Aztec who was on the winning side last night at Viejas Arena. Bulldog assistant coach Tim Shelton. And, Tim, man, that last minute and 18 seconds. You guys are down 6 with a minute and 18 to go. You've been in those situations before, and you always want to believe you can win. But did you really believe you guys could win?
Absolutely. You know, as the crowd laughs a little bit. Absolutely. You know, our guys have done a wonderful job continuing to stay together on the road specifically this year.
Yeah.
And even before the game started, you know, our guys have a very big sense of pride about how they go about their business on the road and staying together and fighting through adversity, and ultimately obviously winning a lot of road games this year. But, you know, the games, they go through ebbs and flows. You know, run, it's a game of runs. And unfortunately we were down, but we weren't faltered in terms of our mentality and believing we could come back and win that game.
Come back and win they did, 76-74, so the 3 seed belongs to the Dogs. They'll get conference tournament play going next Thursday night, but Saturday at the Save Mart Center, one last chance for you to see 3 Bulldog seniors in action on their home floor. Sam Bittner, Braxton Huggins, Deshaun Taylor, the last hurrah at the Save Mart Center Saturday at 4. And if you act soon, now tonight we've got the best deal for you, because we're giving away 3 pairs of tickets to that game at the Save Mart Center Saturday at 4 o'clock. You have to enter to win right down here at the front of our stage. But if you don't win those, the next best thing, how about this deal? 4 tickets, 4 hot dogs, 4 sodas for $49. Can't beat that. You have to act by noon tomorrow, so you can call the ticket office between now and noon tomorrow, or you can go online to GoBulldogs.com, get that 4 for $49 deal. To be there, I heard tickets are going quickly, and it's going to be a nice crowd Saturday. Those seniors sure deserve it. And obviously, Tim, you guys wouldn't have gotten it done without those seniors last night. There are a lot of twists and turns to that game. And one of the things I've appreciated about your guys' team this year is how many different ways you find to win, how you adjust to adversity, to curveballs. Last night, the big curveball was Nate Grimes in foul trouble, because the last 3 times, and you know this, you're on the other side of it last year with San Diego State, the last 3 times he's played major minutes against the Aztecs, he had 3 of the best games of his career. And last night he only got to play 13 minutes. If they had told you that going in, Grimes is going to foul out in 13 minutes, would you have thought you had a chance to win?
Absolutely.
And I'm just lobbing them up and hitting them out of the park.
You know, absolutely. I have a lot of faith in every single person on our team, and that faith stems from how we prepare. Our guys give us a lot of confidence. We challenge them in practice. We go through the scouting reports and the game plans, and they accept the challenge. And now they're holding each other accountable for what they're supposed to do and supposed to know. So even when Braxton Huggins was in foul trouble at Nevada, he still had a lead. It was still a competitive game and had a chance to win that game. And it happens with any of the guys when they're out. When Deshaun Taylor went out with his dislocated elbow, it's like guys stepped up. So you expected either Laz or Debo, if he plays small with Sam and Aguirre. Unfortunately, he went down last game. But
that was scary.
You know, those guys we expect to step up, and they've shown in practice that they're more than capable of continuing to execute the game plan that we've kind of put forth for each game.
We're talking to Tim Shelton, Bulldog assistant coach. He's here till 6:30. Then Coach Justin Hudson takes over. The Dogs with a big win last night in San Diego, 76-74. If you missed the final minutes, man, it was wild. What a finish for the Bulldogs. So now that number three seed is theirs. We've got a lot of questions coming in both on Twitter and in person here at the Elbow Room. We're going to be here till 7, and that's when we give away the tickets to Saturday's game. So come join us out here at the Elbow Room. We're on the patio here in Fig Garden Village. Talk to Coach Hud a lot before and after the game about what it was like for him to go back to Viejas as the head coach. But this is a place where you played for the Aztecs, where they still all know you. I mean, I see my guy Ted Leitner there watching you walk by, and he gets excited because you're one of his all-time favorites. I'm sure there are a ton of fans who said hello to you and remembered you, and there were probably a lot of memories for you of the big games you won there. So what was it like to go through that from that context of being a former Aztec? How did they treat you? And how satisfying was it to see your team get the W?
There was a lot of emotion in terms of that for me. I was very focused, you know, on our team and our preparation and our game plan. It was my scout.
Did you guys all hear that? Tim Shelton had the scouting report for San Diego State last night. Just want to make sure that's clear. Well, you were on the staff there last year, so you kind of know some of their sets, right?
Correct. They do some new things.
Uh-huh.
But I was welcomed with open arms in so many ways in terms of when the people started to come into the arena and they saw me. I've never received so many hugs at a road game in my life. And, you know, they made me feel very welcome. Nothing was negative. Obviously, I heard the same saying over and over, good luck except for when you play the Aztecs. And I was like, you guys can keep saying it. I've heard it 100 times. But there was a lot of love in that building for me, and it was administratively, and it was fans and familiar faces and former ball boys that I had seen when I was playing coming up who are grown now, it seems. But I was really appreciative of how everyone welcomed me. I hugged a couple of, you know, the guys, Jeremy Hemsley, for example, one of their seniors. I hugged his dad, and we talked, and I told him, you know, what a pleasure and honor it was to coach his son.
Mm-hmm.
And he said thank you, and thank you to Coach Hudson. Obviously, you know, those relationships don't leave. And, yes,
right.
Yes, you go different paths and take new jobs and for different reasons. But, you know, those memories and the time you spend with those young men and their families, that doesn't go away. And people remember. You know, if you are a certain way, if you're genuine about, you know, your approach and getting to know them, they remember and appreciate that stuff.
Yeah, I did note the student section there, the show. You're well acquainted with the show. You were one of their favorites when you were playing for the Aztecs. They had a couple colorful signs directed toward Coach Hudson that I'm sure he read at some point. Maybe the television audience saw. We certainly saw them from where we were sitting. I didn't see if they had any Tim Shelton heckling signs in the show last night. Did you?
I didn't look at the student section once until the game was over.
Wow.
I know better.
What kind of self-control is that? Huh?
I know better. And surprisingly, no one said my name, or I didn't hear it maybe, but no one said my name or tried to get my attention to see something. I was focused on our guys and focused on, you know, making sure when they came off the floor or before they went into the game that they were mentally in the right place. And it helped me, but also, you know, I didn't even bother to look that way.
Wow. Yeah. That's impressive. You know, a couple of the signs they had given Coach Hud a hard time had to do with his fiance, Stacy, who's the head coach of the San Diego State women's team. One of them said, Stacy is the breadwinner. And then the other one said, Stacy doesn't want to live in Fresno. Now, is that offensive or what? But we'll see next time around what it looks like down there at the Viejas Arena. You know, speaking of the show, that student section, you love it when an opposing fan base has that kind of spirit, whether they're giving you a hard time. I mean, they had a wanted poster out for Coach Hud on Twitter. There was all kinds of stuff going on.
That was recycled, by the way.
Yeah, from the UNLV days, right?
Yeah.
Here's what I want to get to with you, because you experienced that as a player. That student section that was full every night, the arena sold out every night. How big a difference, when you were playing for the Aztecs, did you feel that kind of student section made for your team?
You know, when I got there, the student section actually wasn't that at all.
Right.
And so I got to be a part of the transformation process of people kind of come. People come for the big games. And then they started to appreciate more and more how we played hard and how we played together. And they started to come more. And we did our part in performing a certain way. And then it was sold out. And then the student section was packed. And it did make a big difference. And it's one of those things that you obviously would like to just naturally have, but it's something that I believe, you know, our program now can earn. I believe our guys have the right mentality. I believe we'll play the right style of play and play hard. And I think it's something people will be proud of. I believe that we can reach that and then overachieve that same level of atmosphere right here.
Well, and that's what I was interested in hearing from you. So you saw what it was like before and then after, so you can gauge the difference that made. And every time I go, that's what I say. I say, can you picture that kind of volume from the student section, engagement from the student section at the Save Mart Center? Even if it means maybe blocking off some of the seats behind and making it a more vertical wall of students like they have at Viejas, I think that would be really interesting down the line here. But what you said is key, the style of play and how hard your players play and how they work together. In your experience, you felt like that's what got the fan base there or got the students more engaged?
I do. And it's interesting because the mentality we had before it got filled was that we were excited for each other. The guys that were on the bench and the staff, we were excited for each other to see each other play hard on the floor. So it was like, no matter what's going on in the stands, we're going to be up for each other. We're going to have energy for each other. And that's going to push us over the top. I think our group this year has done a wonderful job of that because, I mean, you can tell by our road record.
Absolutely.
You know, every time out, you know, the energy is there. Every halftime, if you heard our guys speak at halftime, you guys would be really impressed about how together they are and how focused they are on the game plan. Let's execute in the second half. We have them write down three things at halftime that they believe they need to do in order to win the game. And we come in as a staff after we meet into the locker room, and it's exactly what we're thinking. So those guys are on page, and they're on point, and their minds are right in terms of what we want to do and what they need to do to win basketball games.
And win is what the Bulldogs have been doing all year long, including last night. You mentioned the road record. I'm sure you know, Tim, and I'm sure you guys all know, who's the only team in the Mountain West to win at Viejas Arena all year long, besides San Diego State?
Fresno State Bulldogs, baby.
And who's the only team in the Mountain West to win at the Spectrum in Logan, Utah all season long?
Fresno State basketball.
Nevada couldn't do it, just saying. And Utah State couldn't win in San Diego. The Bulldogs may get to play both of those teams in Vegas next week. First, they play the Spartans Saturday, 4 o'clock at the Save Mart Center. It's senior day. Don't miss it. Four for $49 on the ticket deal. You get the four hot dogs and four Pepsis to boot. 278-DOGS or GoBulldogs.com. We're going to be back from the Elbow Room after this, and we'll start taking your questions if you tweet them in with the hashtag AskCut or write them down in person here at the Elbow Room. Come find us on the patio. Arpy made it. Hi, Arpy. We'd love to see some more of you out here at Fig Garden Village, the Elbow Room, and the Coach Justin Hudson Show on 940 ESPN and the Bulldog Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Noah Blackwell driving, throws the low!
Oh, no!
Who throws it down? The pick and roll from the top of the key, and Big Laz feeling good in San Diego.
He's feeling real good in San Diego.
Yeah, all the Bulldogs were feeling good in San Diego last night. That throwdown on the lob for Laz Rojas, a big moment for the Bulldogs in their 76-74 win over the Aztecs that clinched the number three seed in the Mountain West tournament. There's actually a question about that here at the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village. You can tweet your questions in on Twitter with the hashtag AskCut, or you can ask them in person here and enjoy some of those Bulldog bites. The line is hot and heavy right now to get some of that great free food, and the menu is open to you, too. Order here at the Elbow Room. Get something good to drink. I'm enjoying that Illy coffee. I'm already on cup two, thanks to Anne-Marie. Hear the sip? Yeah, it tastes better than it sounds. Trust me. We have Coach Tim Shelton with us, Bulldog assistant coach, former Aztec, who helped the Dogs win in Viejas last night. Coach Hudson will be around in about 15 minutes. And, Tim, we heard that Laz Rojas highlight. There's a question here about why haven't Laz and Nate Grimes played together? Now, they usually play the same position, the five. Nate's played a little bit of four, but a lot of times, isn't it what other teams are doing to you and how those matchups work?
Exactly. With those two playing together, we would if we zoned a little bit more, and in certain situations we might. You know, we've still worked on things in practice that we haven't shown yet. But with that, it's more so about the matchups. And on our conference, there are a lot of, you know, four-men or hybrid forwards that, you know, they're a little bit more difficult to guard on the perimeter because of the way they're used, whether it be a flare screen or a down screen or, you know, different types of screens that require you to have a different level of awareness, be able to do different things on the perimeter. And Nate and Laz are both really good inside defenders, really good rim protectors, really good pick and roll stoppers. So we use them in that manner and keep them fresh, kind of subbing them in and out as well with Christian Gray. So, you know, it's not out of the question, and it'll probably happen a little bit more next year, to be honest with you.
Good point. Next year's going to be a very different kind of story with the Bulldog basketball team, given the guards they're losing and the post players they're inheriting come next year. But this year is a long way from over. The way the Bulldogs played last night, I think they have a lot of people here at the Elbow Room believing they might just be able to win that Mountain West tournament in Las Vegas next year. So here's a question for you, Tim Shelton, not to put you on the spot. They didn't ask this one here on the paper, but we'll get to all these. Who's the best college basketball team in the state of California?
That was me yelling in the background.
You're a good ventriloquist, man. I got to give it to you. I knew you could do a lot of things. Didn't know you could do that.
That's one of my hobbies. You guys didn't know that, but now you know. Fresno State. Fresno State basketball. Fresno State basketball. Fresno State basketball.
So remember, you can enter to win tickets. You've got to drop them in the box down here in front of the stage if you want to do that. We have three pairs of tickets to give away tonight. There's also a great deal at the Save Mart Center for Saturday. Four tickets, four hot dogs, four Pepsis for $49. It only lasts till noon tomorrow. So if you want to take part of that deal, the four for $49 special, you have to act by noon tomorrow, 278-DOGS or GoBulldogs.com. Now, you know, I ask you that question, who's the best basketball team in the state of California, other than the Golden State Warriors, I mean, in the college ranks. And in football season, it was pretty obvious Fresno State was the best college football team in California, right? So what do the stats say? Okay, the Bulldogs have the second most wins in the state of California. They're 21-8. UC Irvine is 25-5 and has won 11 straight games. But if you say, what's the record against other California schools? You know what Fresno State's record is against other California schools? What would you guess, Tim? Just off the top of your head. You're trying to think back at everybody you played, aren't you?
I'm thinking about last night again.
Right? Well, that was the second win over the Aztecs, so you got two of those. A win over San Jose State.
A win
over the Cal Bears.
Cal Poly Pacific. Yeah.
You're missing one.
San Jose State.
Long Beach State, they all said that out there. So that's 7-0. The Bulldogs are 7-0 against teams from California. You think there's any other team in the state who's undefeated against other teams from the Golden State? No, there isn't. USF's 21-9, but the Dons are just 9-6 against California teams. St. Mary's has 20 wins, but the Gales are just 12-3 against teams from California. They lost to USF and Pepperdine and UC Irvine. Sac State's 3-1 against California teams. Cal State Bakersfield is 3-2 against California teams. How about UCLA? The Bruins are 6-2 against teams from California. And UC Irvine, even with that 25-5 record, they're just 14-2 against California teams. And they lost to two of the teams the Bulldogs beat, Long Beach State and Pacific. So I think it's a pretty clear, logical case. Fresno State can claim the title of best basketball team in California.
I'll take it.
All right. Sorry for that soapbox moment. Let's get back to some of these questions here at the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village. We had a couple that wanted to know about one of your freshmen, Aguirre Gao. Someone was concerned if he had a concussion. Al was wondering how bad he is and if he's going to be able to play. I really felt bad for him last night because he has a cousin on the other team for San Diego State. They're good buddies. They were guarding each other. And 1 minute after Aguirre is guarding his cousin, he goes up for a rebound, comes down hard, and didn't get to play again.
Yeah, very unfortunate, and we all were worried because he hit the ground really hard. He played such a wonderful game against him the first time. I don't know if you guys remember, but he was in at the end of the game.
Yep.
And his energy and his effort were fantastic. He was guarding Jalen McDaniels. He's got a little more length than Sam does, and they both do a wonderful job guarding him. So it became a tougher task for Sam. He didn't have a sub and had to continue to guard that guy. But Aguirre popped up quickly. He's a tough kid, you know, so he hopped up, but you could tell he was a little danged up. You know, he didn't play for the rest of the game, but, you know, he got evaluated. He didn't hit his head, which was the biggest thing. I thought he did at first, but he did not hit his head. Ended up being a sprained ankle. So he's a little banged up because he fell on his side. Sat out today at practice, but did some rehab stuff. He's walking around fine, but he'll be good to go. Should play on Saturday. If not, then he'll be ready to go by the conference tournament.
Ask a question, you get an answer. That's how it works on the Coach Justin Hudson Show. We have Coach Tim Shelton till 6:30, and then Coach Hudson from that point on. And I need to take a look at Twitter because I know those questions are coming in with the hashtag AskHut. Alex had a good one. He's always good for a good question or two. One of the things that if people weren't watching closely last night, maybe they missed because they were distracted by Deshaun Taylor's 25 or the big lift from Christian Gray off the bench. But Alex's question is, what does Sam do so well that makes Jalen McDaniels not look like a pro? Because McDaniels is a pro, very talented player. You know, you were with him on that staff last year. The job Sam did on him defensively last night was outstanding.
I don't believe Sam Bittner gets enough credit for how consistent and resilient and tough he is on the defensive end, as well as offensively, making our offense flow and being one who distributes and attacks and is smart, aggressive with what he does. But defensively, it's been a pleasure to coach Sam, and obviously I only get 1 year with him, unfortunately. But I'm very proud of who he was when we got here already, student-athlete, 4.0 type student. But how he welcomed us in and accepted what we were trying to teach him and embraced it. You know, he brings it every day in practice, and it's his mentality is what makes him special. That's how he can play for 38, 40 minutes almost,
mm-hmm.
and focus in and do his job. And if he gets a bad call, he lets it go and continues to play. He plays the game like a very mature young man who's won games before, and he's been there before. Part of that is his ability to lead, and part of it is his ability to focus. But he does it in practice as well, you know. So Sam Bittner, you know, hats off to him all season long, but specifically last night when Aguirre went down and he didn't have a sub to come in for him, you know, to continue to fight and follow the game plan and not get frustrated when he got a bad call or two,
mm-hmm.
and just continue to do his job at a high level.
Well, good question, Alex, and good answer, Tim. And I guess that was the question to ask you and not Coach Hutt, because one of the reasons you understand Sam's game is it's very similar to the game you played when you were in college. You had to guard a lot of bigger guys and do it with footwork and balance and timing and quick hands, and we see all that from Sam. And I was reminded of that a week or two ago, the game where Sam drew four charges in a game, and Coach Hutt comes up for the post game, and I'm thinking I'm going to get him. I said, have you ever had a player draw four charges in a single game? Because that's what Sam had that night. Well, Tim Shelton had seven at San Diego State. Oh, man. What game was that? You took seven charges in one game?
I drew seven charges. We actually played at University of Arizona, and we beat them there my senior year. I drew seven charges that game, and after that, we were top 15 in the country, all that stuff. But that was fun.
Well, the question there is, if you got seven charges called, how many other times did you hit the floor trying to get a charge that they didn't give to you?
Only three, you know. And I'm gonna tell you guys the secret. I'm gonna tell you guys the secret to getting seven charges in a game. Be friends with the refs before the game starts.
Hey, there's a lot of wisdom there.
I'm telling you, I was a senior. I knew those guys already. I shook their hands. We had special handshakes, a couple of them. And we were on the road, you know. I'm asking them how their kids are doing and everything. And you have to understand, on the road especially, I was getting booed after the third charge I took.
Oh, I'm sure.
And the coaches are like, how are you still calling these charges? We're at home. So, you know, it was fun for me because maybe three of them were flops, maybe five. Who knows?
But the truth comes out. But Sean Miller, are you listening?
But I sold them all, and we got seven, and we got the win, most importantly. So.
Yeah, and McHale Center, I can imagine the way they were letting you hear it there in Tucson that night. Tim Shelton with us here at the Coach Justin Hutson Show. We're with you till 7 o'clock. Coach Hutt will be along in just a few minutes. There's some other questions coming in on Twitter with that hashtag AskHutt. Here's a good one from Kent. Maybe I'll ask Coach Hutt as well, but I'm sure you have a good handle on this, Tim. He wants to know, which teams do you consider to be sleeper teams for the Mountain West Tournament? Who could surprise some people other than everybody?
Us? I don't think that we would surprise our people in our conference, but
yeah,
I think on
so.
The national scale, if you haven't watched closely enough, you know, you'll see us play and you'll be like, wow, those guys are really capable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they defend really hard, they defend smart, they play together, they can knock down the long ball, you know, and they have talent all around, and they have depth, and they have the toughness in their depth. So I would say us. You know, besides that, I mean, the guys on the top end, and obviously San Diego State has the talent. You know, they've shown it by beating Utah State and beating Nevada. But the last piece is that we're road tested. You know, it doesn't matter if we're at home or away. You know, our guys, they bring it. You know, so that's, I think we're the sleeper team, to be honest with you.
Well, and last night, I think you proved that that fight never goes away, and that you have the belief that even in seemingly, well, beyond improbable, seemingly impossible odds, down that much with that little time left, that you found a way to get it done. That's scary for a lot of teams who are going to be scouting you guys. We're going to take a break. We'll have more with Coach Shelton, and then Coach Hutson will be along as well here till 7 o'clock when we give away the tickets to Saturday's regular season finale, Senior Day against San Jose State. 4 o'clock tip on Saturday. Remember, four for $49. Four tickets, four hot dogs, four Pepsis, as long as you order by noon tomorrow. 278-DOGS, the number there. Come hang out with us at the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village and keep it here on 940 ESPN and the Bulldog Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
10 seconds, nine. Justin Hudson comes and shouts something. Gray sets the screen. Taylor around that. Five to shoot four. Takes a deep NBA range three and switches another. Deshaun Taylor.
Man.
Makes it 39-32, Fresno State at halftime. That was 27 feet away, Coach.
Woo! My goodness, what a shot. What
nothing,
a half.
Nothing but net for Taylor.
Yeah, what a game for Deshaun Taylor and the Dogs last night in San Diego. A 76-74 victory. They're the number three seed in next week's Mountain West Tournament. We're here at the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village talking to Coach Justin Hudson, who has joined us now. The Dogs 21-8 on the year, 12-5 in conference, and one more regular season game Saturday, 4 o'clock at the Save Mart Center. You can get four tickets, four hot dogs, four sodas for $49 total if you act by noon tomorrow.
Yeah, that's a great deal.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Let's keep spreading the word. Maybe we'll have a bigger crowd. And I hear the tickets are selling very well for Saturday's 4 o'clock regular season finale. Coach Hutt, they've been asking a lot of questions, and we've been saving them for you here. But before I get to the questions, is there anything you want to say to, I think this is our biggest crowd of the year for the Coach Justin Hudson show?
Well, I say always, thank you for coming out. You know, they ask a lot about the Red Wave, and, you know, we want to have a little more people in the Save Mart than we do have, but I don't look at it that way all the time. I look at it as I'm really appreciative of the people that do come out, your true fans.
And the true fans are definitely here tonight at the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village. Three of them are going to win a pair of tickets to Saturday's regular season finale. If you're friends with them, maybe they'll give them to you. Who knows? But that four for $49 deal there, regardless of who you know. And here are some of the questions for you, Coach, that we've been saving up as Anne-Marie brings you your illy coffee here at the Elbow Room. Let's start with this. Christy wanted to know, how much grief did you receive from San Diego State people after last night's game?
I didn't receive much at all before or after, to tell you the truth. If I did, I didn't hear it.
I think the play did the talking, perhaps, and they knew they didn't have anything to say to you after the Bulldogs got that come-from-behind finish.
Our guys were pretty excited after that game, so I wanted to spend time with them.
Understandably so. Gary had the question. I guess he has a website, don'tlikeslowstarts.com. Nice website, Gary. But he said, Coach, nice fast start and even more fantastic finish. He wants to know if you've ever had a come-from-behind win like yesterday. You're down 8 points with under 2 minutes left, 6 points with a minute 18, and you won by two.
I don't remember. It's a good question. You know, that plane flight today, and then we went right to practice, and then you've been watching film, and then we come here. I'm not too sharp right now on that memory. Either that or I'm getting old.
No, I can't be that.
But, you know, I think it was a great comeback. You know, and it's just a testament to our guys. You know, I've said that all year long, that they're very resilient. Do we talk about that? Yes. We talk a lot about that, about playing every play, next possession, fighting, you know, what men do. But those guys are special guys. Coaches can talk about that all the time, but I'm so happy for our guys because they were really happy last night.
Yeah, and boy, did they earn it. Because there were plenty of things working against them. And I think some of those are the topics of some of these questions, which we'll get to. Linda had a question. Pretty straightforward. She says, why did they call the tee on you? You got a technical. During the timeout, there had been back-to-back situations on both ends of the floor that you weren't happy with a non-call. Why did Chris Rastatter tee up in that instance?
You know, Sam drove to the hole. We've been trying to get him to finish stronger. And we said, go up and finish strong, and they'll call a foul. And he went up, and he went to finish strong, and they hacked him. And then right as the ball went down the floor, Matt Mitchell pushed off Braxton and knocked him down in charge. So there would end up being a timeout in the break. And usually they'll come over and talk to you. And I said, that's two that you missed. And I said it again, and I said it again, and I said it again. But he didn't want to come over and talk to me. So it was kind of weak that you said when you gave me the tee when I sat down. So now it was a huddle, and I sat down. And I was purposely trying to fire our guys up a tad bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't necessarily want to get a technical, but I definitely wanted to fire our guys up a tad bit and let them know that I'm fighting for them in that environment. You know, and it worked out okay. You know, but, you know, it was a tough night. It was a tough whistle. All the way down to the end.
I don't know how far I want to push you on that, but Kent has a question on Twitter that maybe you feel is related. Let's see. He used that hashtag AskCut, and Kent says, Fresno State has averaged 18 free throw attempts per game on the season, third lowest in the Mountain West. Seven other Mountain West teams average 20 or more free throw attempts per game, led by Nevada's 24, and he wants to know why the discrepancy. I bet you'd like to know, too.
Sometimes because we shoot a lot of threes. You know, we do shoot a lot of threes, but we also attack the basket off the bounce, which is the easiest way to get to the foul line. The best way to get to the foul line is attacking the basket off the bounce. So there's times where we're settling for threes that we don't deserve to go to the line, but there's times that we're attacking off the bounce and we're getting bumped because we're very quick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we spread you out and we're quick and we attack you off the bounce, we do get bumped. And sometimes we're so quick we continue to get to the basket and they don't call those fouls. But, you know, it's a little mixture of both.
Fair enough, and we'll see how that plays out in the Mountain West Tournament, which starts Thursday. The Bulldogs will play at 8:30 against the winner of the 6th seed versus the 11th seed the night before. There are lots of possibilities for who that opponent could be. But Alex has a question on Twitter about the timeline. Regardless of who you're playing, he said, what's the timeline typically like during the Mountain West Tournament for game planning and shoot around and everything you have to do when you know you're dealing with games on consecutive days?
That's a great question. You know, you're prepared for that. You'll try to guess who you're going to play on the first round, and you'll kind of prepare for both teams,
mm-hmm.
you know, leading into that, I believe, Thursday night game.
Right.
So you'll prepare for both teams, and if one of them is harder to prepare for than the other, maybe you'll, you know, mentally in your mind, you'll start thinking about a game plan a little bit more, whether they're playing zone or a little different offense. But then when it comes Thursday, Friday, Saturday, the guys got to step up, and that's the way it goes. If you're fortunate enough to win and keep playing, you got to keep it very simple, and you got to rely on your concepts, and that's what happens this time of year anyway. You know, you can't put in a whole lot of new plays because the guys won't remember them. You have to be able to run your stuff, and then you got to be able to play before the play and after the play. You got to be able to get a rebound and get out and run and get easy shots, and if they do scout your play, you got to be able to spread the floor and move it and drive and kick or throw it inside. And everybody's playing the same way, so we're spending a lot of time on that, you know, being able to play conceptually.
Next Thursday night, 8:30, will be the Bulldogs' first game in Vegas. If they win, they'll play again at 8:30 on Friday night, and if they win that, they'll play for the title 3 o'clock on Saturday. Sound like a plan? As for tonight, the rest of this Thursday night, we're here till 7 o'clock at the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village. Those Bulldog Bites are delicious. The coach is here, so bring your questions. You might win tickets. And we're back after this on 940 ESPN and the Bulldog Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. Taylor into the front court, into the lane, forces it up with the left hand, can't get the roll. Gray crashing the glass, comes down with it, puts it back up, missed the layup, tipped out of there. Taylor has it, jumps into a three,
made
it. Deshaun Taylor with exactly a minute to go has the Bulldogs within three, and timeout taken. That was part of that furious comeback for the Bulldogs last night to win at San Diego State, 76-74, clinching the number three seed in the Mountain West Tournament. There's one more regular season game Saturday, 4 o'clock. We're giving away tickets here at the Elbow Room, but you have to be here. You have to put your name in the box, and we'll draw them at 7 o'clock. Coach Hudson here for a little while longer, so if you have questions, walk them on up or throw them our way on Twitter with the hashtag AskHut. There are a few other questions that came in on Twitter, and we had one here from Louise at the Elbow Room, Coach, and you don't know who you're going to play Thursday night yet. You'll know Saturday night once regular season play is complete. Could be Air Force, could be Colorado State, could be New Mexico. What are the different matchup issues those teams present is what Louise wanted to know. And I know that can be a complicated answer, but just in a nutshell, if you give us maybe 30 seconds on each one, what makes them dangerous?
Great question, Louise. Very different. Air Force is going to run a Princeton offense that you're only going to see once or twice a year when you play them. And that's always difficult to play, and it affects your offense at times because you're down there and you're really thinking on the defensive end, trying to not make mistakes. You know, Colorado State is one of the best offensive teams in the conference. You can see they just scored 96 on Utah State, who's a very good defensive team. And they've done nothing but get better and better and better as the year went on. They had a tough preseason, but they've been really good in conference. And New Mexico's big. They're big. You know, so you got to prepare for size when you're playing for New Mexico. So they're three totally different teams.
New Mexico's so streaky, too. If they're making perimeter shots, they're scary. I mean, they put up a lot of them, guys like Vance Jackson and Keith McGee. But, you know, if they're hitting them, that could be a different game, and we've seen the results of that earlier this year. A couple more questions coming our way on Twitter. Well, this one's pretty straightforward. I'm sure you've given this some thought, and you've experienced it. In fact, you were part of this experience last year as an assistant in San Diego State. Kent wants to know, what do you have to do to win the Mountain West Tournament? What does it take?
First of all, your guys got to believe. You know, that's the first thing. It gets this late in the year. You know, believe it or not, they're tired. You know, they've been hearing the same message. You know, they're going to school. They had to get back today and go to school, go to study hall. So they get tired, and they get tired of you harping on them to try to get better. You know, so you got to make sure as a group that you're having a good time. And we talk about, you know, why not the Bulldogs? We've been talking about that for 2 weeks, you know, and you're going to have to take it. You're not going to go in there and back into a championship, and we have enough on our team right now. And it, obviously you got to have a little luck, you know, but, you know, the luck comes later. You know, as a group, they got to believe, and we believe in them, and they know the coaching staff believe in them, but they got to believe in themselves that they can get it done.
Well, that's what was so impressive to me last night, was that belief clearly never left. Even if maybe some of you watching at home were thinking it was over or listening to us on the radio, maybe your belief was wavering. I didn't see any wavering in Deshaun Taylor or Braxton Huggins or New Williams at the end, any of those guys, Sam Bittner included. And Sam's the subject of another question on Twitter here, well, at least partially. He wants to know, since you touched on officiating a little bit, what are your thoughts on the hook and hold rule, and what do you say to Sam about it? And for those who haven't followed closely, a new point of emphasis in college basketball this year, if a couple guys going for the rebound, if their arms get tangled and one of them actually tugs down on the other guy, it's now a flagrant foul, two shots in the ball for the team that was thought to be violated. And Sam's been on the wrong end of some of those calls this year. How much time have you guys spent discussing that or trying to figure out when it's going to be called and how to avoid it?
Quite a bit more time after the second time Sam got called. You know, we're small, so we were really focusing on boxing out and being physical and being tough. We weren't talking about not fouling. You know, what we didn't want to do is not be physical. So we wanted to make sure we had some physicality to us. We were playing with effort, and our main focus was that way. Now, once he got a couple hook and holds and we talk about his hurting us, then we kind of watched it on film, and we know, you know, referees are funny that way. If you give an emphasis, they're going to make those calls just to make those calls whether they're there or not. And that was an emphasis, so we talked about that as a group, that this is an emphasis, so let's make sure we try not to do that.
You think it'll be the same next year, or you think they'll
make another emphasis next year, and they'll call three or four of them on somewhere else. I don't know what it's going to be.
It's funny how it ebbs and flows, and you see it a lot early in the year, and then come tournament time, half the people forgot the point of emphasis was ever there.
There, right? It is, and it's kind of like you're the sacrificial lamb and that stuff. Somebody, they have to call it a few times to make sure that they were listening.
Uh-huh.
You know? I just like that Sam's boxing out. At one point in time, it was, you know, our stage was just that. Let's just make sure we box out. Let's make sure we're physical. Let's make sure that guys like Caroline aren't running in and getting free rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think you saw us earlier in the year. We weren't a great defensive rebounding team. You know, we don't have a lot of size that can just go get it. Nate's pretty talented going to get the ball, but it takes five of us. But we really work on boxing out, and we've gotten better. We still have a ways to go. You know, we'll work on it a little bit again tomorrow. San Jose is big.
Yes, sir.
So we'll make sure we continue to build that habit so guys aren't getting offensive rebounds on us consistently.
San Jose State, the opponent, Saturday, 4 o'clock. Your last chance to see the Dogs at the Save Mart Center. Senior night for Deshaun Taylor, Sam Bittner, Braxton Huggins. Be part of that big crowd at the arena Saturday. For $49, you can get 4 tickets, 4 sodas, 4 hot dogs, if you call by noon tomorrow, 278-DOGS. Here's another question. Was this Max that brought this one up? All right. He wants to know, is Coach excited for the 7-foot kid to come in next year? Big Hassan, who you recruited. Now, I'm wondering, you recruited a guy for San Diego State who was a matchup problem for you last night, though. He got was. Foul trouble. Nathan Mensah.
It was a shame that, you know, all them times I had to travel to Africa to get that kid and his cousin that's on the bench, and then we got to play against him a year later. You know, it makes no sense. He should be able to transfer to the Bulldogs because I know he'd want to. But
don't be tampering now.
You know, Hassan, he's doing great. He's doing great in the classroom. You know, I think he got almost a 3.0.
Wow.
You know, he's lost weight, so he's getting in better shape, and he's been working on his skills. You know, we don't put him in the 5-on-5 quite a bit yet because he is a little raw, meaning, you know, he has some skills to him. There's no question, but he'll foul you. And as you can see, we can't have him knock one of them. We're only 8 to 9 deep. We can't have him knock anybody out of practice right now. So we couldn't afford to say, okay. But he's doing great. He really works hard. And as all our guys are sitting out, Chris Seeley's doing great. He's going to be one of the best athletes in the conference right away. And Jordan Campbell has a chance down the line to be special. He's a big, strong guard that can defend. He's going to be young. You know, Jordan is young. He's inexperienced, but I like what they're about. So the future's bright with those three guys that are already here and the three guys that are coming in.
And that's the long-term future. In the near term, Senior Day against San Jose State Saturday, then the Mountain West Tournament starting Thursday in Las Vegas. The Dogs, the number 3 seed after that big, big win in San Diego last night. We'll talk more about it with the coach when we come back. We have one final question for our last Coach Justin Hudson Show of the Year at the Elbow Room. Tweet it in with that hashtag, AskHut. Back after this on 940 ESPN and the Bulldog Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. The inbound to Watson. 40 seconds left. Watson in the backcourt, trapped by Huggins and Bittner.
Don't screw it up. Look at him.
Turns around, falls over, gets the ball back, bounces out of it to McDaniels. New Williams steals it.
He's
down the lane,
yes!
Hammers it with the left hand. The high-rising throwdown, and Fresno State has somehow come all the way back to take the lead. Yeah, somehow. Somehow, some way, the Dogs always find a way, and they did again last night, 76-74 at San Diego State to clinch the number 3 seed in the Mountain West Tournament. If you're going to Vegas, their first game will be Thursday night, 8:30, against the winner of Wednesday's 6-11 game. San Jose State, the 11 seed. The 6 could be Air Force, could be New Mexico, could be Colorado State. We'll find out Saturday when the Bulldogs finish their regular season, by the way, Saturday, 4 o'clock. Senior Day at the Save Mart Center. Tickets 4 for $49 if you act by noon tomorrow. You might just win a pair here in about 5 minutes. And, Coach, this is our last show of the year here at the Elbow Room. Big shout-out to Ann Marie and the whole wait staff out here on the patio. Don't they do a great job? They've taken care of us all season long. I think she brought me 3 cups of coffee tonight. I didn't even have to ask. Thanks, Ann Marie. So, Coach, Christy walked up a really good question that she wants to have you in one word each describe each senior. And I guess if you want to use more than one word, you can. But you have 3 seniors that will be celebrated Saturday at 4 o'clock at the arena. Braxton Huggins, Sam Bittner, Deshaun Taylor. How much do these guys mean to you?
You know, we'll start with Sam, who leader. He's a leader. He shows up every day ready to work. You know, we put on the board last night something that we talked about the first day of practice is you win with men. So you don't win with young guys because it's about, you know, being resilient, being coachable, holding yourself accountable, coming to work hard every day. Now, although obviously you got to recruit talent, but you're not going to win unless you win with men. And, you know, I got a man in Sam Bittner. I mean, he comes every day ready to go, and he leads by example. He leads by example, and we're blessed to have him. And we've tried to expand his role this year more. And obviously he's shooting it more. He's driving it more. We've encouraged him to finish more at the rim. That's not something that's a strength of his, but we're telling him, to, you know, if you see it, the area, the seized part, go in there and finish. You don't have to kick it out. And he tried last night, and he got a foul, and that's partially why I got a technical. But Braxton Huggins, fearless. You know, he's fearless, and he's confident, and he is funny today because you know, at practice, he had some string around his neck, and I said, what are you doing? What is that? I said, you crazy? And he said, you didn't know? You just figured it out? I said, yeah, no, I was just playing it. But he's very fearless, and he's a joy to be around. And when I got here, I knew Braxton very well. You know, Coach Brown coached him at New Mexico State. You know, I knew his high school coach, and they said he was never going to play defense. And I said, well, I heard that before. And he tries really hard. And without his effort of getting better playing defense, trying to share the ball, and you want him to think score, and he's going to take a few bad shots, but, you know, he's not selfish. He's trying to share the ball. He's doing what he does best. And the defense he's played, he's been playing the three sometimes. So when you start talking about rebounding, you know, earlier in the year, guys would run by and get all the rebounds on him, and he'd be leaking out, and now he's boxing out and he's rebounding. So he's really tried to get better and affect winning, and he's just fearless. It's absolutely fearless, something that you can't teach. And Deshaun Taylor is just a competitor. You know, I think he wills you to win. Mm-hmm. He wills you in the win. And we've coached him hard also. We wanted him, there was a lot of things we asked him to get better at. We asked him to grow his game at. And we said, just because you do these one, two, and three things good, we're asking you to try to do four, five, and six. And he's listened. He's bought in. You know, he's another guy that comes to work every day. You know, and as a coach, when you walk in and you know guys are coming to work every day and they're not going to be moody, they're going to be about winning, they're going to work hard, they're about the team, that's what you're looking for. So it's nothing better to have those three guys. And, you know, I've had a lot of senior nights that I've recruited a lot of guys, and whether you're the head coach or the assistant, you care about them the same. But it is going to be hard to lose those guys on, you know, and see them being honored on Saturday, you know. Hopefully everybody shows up and gives them their due.
Hey, man, I know these people here at the Elbow Room tonight will be there Saturday. And I hope we save that little clip of audio, because not only were you honoring those three seniors, I think you're giving a roadmap to a lot of future Bulldogs out there about who and how they need to be if they're going to help a team be successful and if they're going to earn some playing time. So you said leader for Sam Bittner, fearless for Braxton Huggins, competitor for Deshaun Taylor, and we have a chance to send them off in style Saturday, 4 o'clock at the Save Mart Center. Coach, the last 20 seconds or so of the show, what does it come down to with San Jose State? What do you guys have to do to finish the year with a win at home?
Take care of the ball. I think everybody's seen in the Save Mart Center, sometimes we come out and throw that sucker all over the gym, and we cannot do that. If we want to continue to win, we cannot do that. So we will work on that tomorrow for sure. And make sure their three-point shooter does not get off, and they're big inside, so we're going to have to be able to guard in the post and rebound.
Sounds like a plan. He's Coach Justin Hudson. See him at the Save Mart Center Saturday, 4 o'clock. And thanks for listening all year long on 940 ESPN and the Bulldog Sports Network.
The Justin Hudson Coaches Show has been brought to you by California Business Machines, by Madera Auto Center, Suncrest Bank, The Elbow Room, Barrier Roofing, A-plus signs, by Mega Prince, and by Fashion Furniture across from River Park. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Bulldog Sports Network.